Hello, friend. Welcome. Carm Capriotto here, episode 503 of Remarkable Results Radio. Let's get straight to the point. We're talking partnerships. They're not for everyone, and some of you have great stories to tell about them, and some have scars as it relates to dealing with partnerships. I'm glad to be able to get this story told to you by Mark Roberts and John Long.
Oh, most definitely. I think you definitely have to have that fierce conversation, you know, with your shop owner. Say, hey, look, I've been doing this for 5 years. I'm working hard. What's your succession plan? What's your exit strategy?
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hey, Carm Capriotto here. How you doing? The Automotive Aftermarket Podcast guy with a refreshing look at partnerships. Now, partnerships, as you will hear, is a great idea for succession planning, as you'll hear Mark and John speak to it. Partnerships are not for everyone. However, they take fortitude, resilience, and open communication to make them work. Hey, it's been a pleasure to have you on board with the aftermarket's largest collection of audio information to help you grow and develop only as Remarkable Results Radio can do for you. And that leads me to the excitement that is increasing with 2020 NAPA Expo. Now, if you're committed to making 2020 your best year ever, you may just want to get to the 2020 NAPA Expo. Make the decision to join NAPA Auto Care in Las Vegas, April 6th through 9th. I know you've heard me say this an awful lot, and if you've not committed, maybe it's time right now to engage in the latest news and industry information that you're going to get from Expo 2020. It's still not too late. Contact your NAPA store. I will see you in Las Vegas. I'm moderating a panel on transparent pricing. At Apex 2019, I had the pleasure to interview Mark Roberts and John Long of Schertz Automotive in Schertz, Texas. There's an additional partner who could not make the trip to Apex. Now, Mark and John shared their partnership model and how it's going to evolve. Mark created an opportunity for his two new partners, John and Dave, to own equity in the business and thus making them his partners. Now, Mark didn't think of succession planning when he formulated this approach, but he now sees it as a very viable succession option. They'll talk about that. There was a V8 moment for both Mark and John when they realized they just may have the compatibility to make this work. It was when they both read Rocket Fuel from Gino Wickman. You can find that book on the books page on my website. Now, hey, please don't forget about the big change in how you listen to the podcasts. Now, you need to know, I've told you this before, that all three shows we produce now have their own feed. And you also keep listening for free, so don't worry about that. So since you already have your subscription to Remarkable Results Radio, now you need to subscribe to the Town Hall Academy and For the Record so you don't miss one episode. Get more details on my app page at remarkableresults.biz, and thanks so much for adding THA and FTR to your subscriptions. This episode's talking points with Mark and John can be found at remarkableresults.biz/E503. Now know this, partnerships are not for everyone. However, they can just be the right approach to helping young professionals get equity with many creative ways to form partnerships. Think about having key leaders in your company in an equity position.
Carm back here, Apex 2019 studio at Industry Week, and I'm with a couple of really great friends here. Mark Roberts from Schertz Auto in Schertz, Texas, and his partner John Long from Schertz. And the reason we're here is we want to talk about partnerships. And I think the reason that we need to talk about partnerships is that it is one heck of an option to grow your business. And having an equity partner be part of that. We did an episode, Town Hall Academy 134, about branch growth strategy, and Jeff Moore came on. And I don't know if you guys have heard it. If you should go back and listen to it. Jeff Moore says, yeah, we grew and we had a branch. And 5 years later, after I lost six figures, we closed that puppy. And now we have five, and all five have an equity partner with me. We never really dove too deep in that, but Mark, you're here. This has been your strategy. I know you're breaking ground on another place, and you're going to do the same kind of arrangement. And I want our industry to think deep, long, and hard as we know the high percentage of people that are in their 50s or even in their 60s, and they're looking for a succession plan, and they haven't done a thing about it.
Well, you know, 50-something's not that old, Carm.
No, well, no. In fact, 70 is the new 50.
All right. We'll let you keep believing that.
You're the one who tells me exercise every day, and you will not have a clue how old you get.
That's right. So we're just trying to keep you on track. It's all about accountability.
Yes,
so.
Thank you very much. He used to call me every Wednesday and ask me if I've been to the gym.
Well, I would do it on Wednesday just so you'd have time to if I could just kind of, you into working out maybe Thursday or Friday. Yeah, so
you would say you still have time. In fact, Carm, didn't you tell me you have a 724 membership to the gym?
Yeah.
I said, yes. He says, you can't carve out an hour. Never mind. That's my problem, my issue. Good to have you here, John. So you're on the receiving end of this great partnership with Mark.
Yeah. It's been a great thing for us. Mark did a great thing for David and myself. David's our other partner. It's not here with us, unfortunately, this week. He's back at the shop, kind of manning things. But, without Mark, David and I, I don't think we'd be in the position that we're in. That's for sure. He's definitely helped us out tremendously and done a lot for us.
I'm so glad you're here from the perspective of this. You know, we can talk from an owner's perspective, Mark. I need to do this. I want to do this. I need to find somebody. Is there somebody internally, a candidate? But it's just not anyone. So, John, when you and Mark, obviously, you're a great judge of character, Mark, and, John was with you, and you said, this may work. Did you put the effort into Schertz Automotive ever thinking someday that you could have an equity interest?
I'm the type of guy that's going to work hard no matter what. And David's the same way. Him and I both discussed this a little bit before I came out here. Ownership isn't going to change us one bit. We're going to put our work in, put our hard hat on, strap our boots up no matter what every single day.
How many shop owners have that luxury of having those internal candidates like that?
Well, I don't think everybody has them. I would say this thing has been very beneficial for them, but it's also been very beneficial for me. We wouldn't be where we are today if it wasn't for those two guys. And so let me kind of give you the backstory on why I did it. I was a collision repair technician for years. I come from the collision industry, and I worked just like John and David worked, just worked very hard. It's all about the company. He used to always say, David, when you think about a company man, if you looked in the dictionary, they should just put his picture there. He just, it was always about the company. John came along just really about a year after David, 2 years, and John just worked. I mean, the guy's like a robot. We always say if you cut his arm open, he doesn't going to bleed. You're just going to have a bunch of sparking wires and that stuff. So,
and the rest of it will grow back.
Yeah, it'll go back. So, but no, he's an exceptional person. He's a sharp guy. And so when I worked for this guy, I worked for him for 10 years, worked hard, would come in early, stay late, just whatever we needed to do to be successful. The guy treated me very well. He took good care of me. But he had made a comment one time when he was talking about some ownership stuff, and he just said, nobody will ever own any part of my company, not even my kids, unless they buy it from me. I just had too many friends that their family members have screwed up their business and stuff. And that always just stuck in the back of my head because I just had this mentality of I wanted to be an owner. And I said, if I would have owned maybe 5%, I was willing to buy it. I could call myself an owner because I think there was just something about that pride. It goes back to just having pride. A lot of people thought I was an owner there just because of the way I treated the business. And I just felt like, if I ever own my own business and I have guys that are just working hard and just have the best interests of the company, then I want to give them the opportunity to be an owner and not have to leave. I wouldn't want to have to compete against John and David. So for me, it's kind of multiple reasons why I did it. One, I wanted to create opportunity for them to go out and own shops and run shops. And then the succession planning really wasn't even in the picture, and I don't want to say it was a tough decision because it really wasn't a tough decision for them to be partners. But the downside to that is that you hear of all the bad partnerships, So John and I and David, we're not best friends. John and David are very good friends, but John and I just worked together well. And we go back, and maybe chasing a rabbit a little bit, but go back and, you know, we read Rocket Fuel and we're reading this and, well, we're already doing this stuff. And we just didn't know that he's the integrator, you know, and I'm the visionary.
Right.
But we read that. I'm like, well, gosh, we're already.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
We have the formula.
Yeah. I started reading that book first and I'm like a chapter or two into it and I'm texting Mark. I'm like, we got to start reading this together. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you know, you got to catch up. We got to do this together. Yeah. I mean, this is just amazing that we're there already.
So much to say about that compatibility.
Yeah. And it's, you know, our partnership hasn't always been easy. I say this year's probably actually been the toughest year for us. We've actually had a lot of friction between us this year, but friction is good. It builds, you know, it's made us stronger for that. But it's good friction.
And it's friction. And it's friction. If I think about it, is that it goes back to poor communication on both of our parts.
Yep. I get it. It's usually the root cause.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's usually the root cause because we just had a dialogue. And when I walked away and left, I never confirmed or clarified, did you hear what I said? What did I say? And then you're off there and says, well, he said this because you interpreted. Let's not go into this whole thing, but you're right. And if a partnership is going to work, I think you nailed it. First of all, some trust, but the communication piece is God, it's so critical. It's the word marriages, families, kids, parents, business people, customers. You know, just think about our front counter. If the communication wasn't right and the person didn't recognize what they were getting for the price that they were paying, they thought one thing, you gave another, clash in the middle, two-star review.
Yep.
Could you imagine if partnerships had a Yelp review?
Well, he might be onto something. But so that was part of the reasoning for me wanting to do that, is just to create this opportunity for them. And then the more I thought about it, I'm like, well, that's really almost a succession plan too, because if they already own, you know, the original plan was I had to own 60%. I had to have the controlling interest. Part of that's for banking relationships and stuff. And then my original thought was, hey, I want the manager to own 10% of the business, maybe 20% of the business. I want them to be a partner in it. And then a service writer, I have a certain percentage of it, and a lead tech. So really those three key people is originally how I'd set it up. So when we did this, there was only three of us. And so I kept 60, you know, and John had said, hey, I want, you know, whatever David doesn't want, I'll take the remaining percentage.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just started out at 10%. Well, they each ended up with 20%. So then the challenge is we put this together and had some attorneys draw up the agreements and draw up the buy sales and stuff. And so on the buy sales, if you know, there's some stuff in there that if John or David, they get a divorce, we don't deal with ex-wives, those shares come back to the shop. We will buy those shares back. Same way with me. I have the same stipulations on me,
mm-hmm.
that, or if one of us passes away, then those shares come back. We pay the remaining spouse off and those shares come back to the shop. And the one area that we didn't really address, and that was an area of what if one of us is incapacitated?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm probably the person they could least do without. So, but it still goes back to if they're incapacitated and you're no longer, if it happened to John or David, and you no longer can do the functions of your job, then, you know, those shares, we just haven't done anything for that. And that's just something that we have to work on to get that cleaned up a little bit, either through insurance policies. You know, for me, part of it is, gosh, if something happened to John and he couldn't work anymore and, you know, we have to replace John and stuff. Well, part of me is like, well, gosh, he's put in the work and he's done this. Why? We're just going to kick him out and say, okay, we're buying your shares now and you're done. You know, is that? That just seems kind of cold to me.
Yeah. And you bring up such a great point. Building partnerships and making the decisions that you made, I'm sure you struggled with it. You got counsel. There's a lot of factors here. For you, John, as you were watching this happen and you saw the opportunity, you're scratching your head saying, oh, this legalese stuff. But now do you look back and say it's the best thing that we did and how we did it?
I don't think I ever scratched my head on it and said, oh, you know, kind of woe is me. We got to go through all this legal stuff. You know, I was right there with, I mean, we need to protect ourselves. Everybody kind of needs protection. The corporation needs protection more so than anything, in my opinion. You know, so it's one thing that you have to go through and do just so everybody's protected.
There's too many lives at stake.
There's too many, because it's not only our lives, it's also the lives of our team members.
Absolutely. That's the key. And I hear that more and more. I think there's an awakening to the fact of the responsibilities that shop owners have to the lives, the livelihoods of the people that work for them. And in the whole case of this, my rants lately about the struggling shop owner and let's help them and do the right thing there. You know, if there's any emotional tug that makes them want to improve themselves, it's got to be because of the livelihoods that they provide for.
Yeah, you know, in my younger days, it was easy. And my thought process was, well, I just have a big insurance policy. If something happens to me, my wife could just close everything. She wouldn't have to worry about anything. She has plenty of money. You know, that was in my younger days. But then as our team grew and stuff, said, well, there's too many lives at stake. We have to do something to, it would just be poor stewardship on my part.
That's a great point.
Hey, it's Carm to talk to you about how telematics can benefit your Napa Auto Care Center. Now, thanks to Napa's recent partnership with CarVantage, it's easy for you to connect with your customers and help to eliminate their stress over car care. The CarVantage program lets you message customers directly on their smartphone about any action they need to take, and it's all done automatically based on their car's actual health and mileage. It works like this. You provide customers with a CarVantage sensor that plugs into their vehicle and then connects via Bluetooth to their mobile phone. Then the CarVantage dashboard allows you to set up automated marketing campaigns that target customers based on specific triggers, like when they're approaching their next maintenance interval, for example, or whenever a check engine light is detected. Customers, well, they'll receive a mobile push notification and or email when they meet the criteria you specify. You can encourage them to schedule a service or send a coupon relevant to the problems they're experiencing. Now, to make an appointment at your shop, all the customer has to do is select the service, a time, and a date. CarVantage even sends you a snapshot of the vehicle's health prior to the vehicle's appointment so you can plan for the visit. Customers love CarVantage. It gives them peace of mind and the best experience in the market. Plus, CarVantage is free to them. And for you, a special offer only for Napa Auto Care Centers lets you give CarVantage a try at a very affordable price. And it even includes free sensors. Other plans and enhancements are also available. Even more important, CarVantage helps you increase customer retention and customer spend. Talk to your servicing Napa Auto Parts store to find out more about what CarVantage can do for your business, plus the hundreds of other things the Auto Care program has to offer.
Mark, you have other things that you do. To stay busy. Let's look at a shop owner that this is his place and he shows up every day to work. Would it be more difficult to make that decision than to branch, to grow, to succeed, to partner than you? Because you have so many other irons and other businesses in the fire?
I wouldn't say I had all those other things to do before, but I will tell you, it was a very difficult time for me to walk out of that shop and not be involved in any of the day-to-day. But granted, I was not involved in the day-to-day of that shop probably ever. We were in the same building. John and I worked in the same office the last year, maybe year and a half. But John's pretty much ran the mechanical aspect, and I always did the collision aspect. And so when I sold that collision shop and then we built the new mechanic shop, I didn't build an office over there. They didn't necessarily want me there. They didn't necessarily need me there. But it was difficult. I didn't even get to have a toolbox there. So
no, it was there for a week or two.
And
we made him take that out. He tried to put a desk in there, and we started taking the desk out to the dumpster to throw it in the dumpster after he built the desk.
When I interviewed him for the first time, he told that story. They were trying to kick me out.
Well, I don't think they weren't trying. We did. There was no try there at all.
You out.
Yeah, you know, if you're going to use that desk to come here, then no, you can't. I said, I just want a place to put a laptop if I need to come and do something. And and that was it. And that was difficult. I mean, it was, I'm not going to sit here and say, hey, that was easy. I just left it. You know, I don't want to say that that's my baby because it's really their baby. And I've just been the person that was the money behind it and you know, really just the visionary and asked the questions. But from a day-to-day perspective, they're the ones that did that. And so it, that was just something that I felt like, gosh, they should be rewarded. Yeah, and, yeah. And a paycheck's not, you know, I'm looking for long-term. Nothing's going to make me feel better than to see John and David succeed and bring the next, you know, and that my challenge to them is you got to be looking at the identifying the next candidates for you guys to bring on board when I'm ready to step aside.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's great advice coming from Mark. Do you want to then extend your partnership with other people and take in you and Mark take the 60 and give 40 to some future people? I mean, is that how you think?
Right. Well, it's been discussed. You know, Mark, about a month or so ago, gave us a hard deadline. I'd say maybe it's probably a hard deadline on when he wants to be out.
Okay.
But David and I have looked at it, you know, for the future stores going forward, kind of what we're going to do percentage-wise on those. Then we're trying to identify candidates that we may even have currently. There's probably a couple that we have currently that we're looking at to try and grow and be them to be our succession.
Got it.
Plan already.
Mark, are you the property owner?
Yes.
Okay. And okay. So you guys are building a brand new building. You shovel in the ground any day now, 9 months to build it or something like that. Mm-hmm. Did the partnership duplicate over to that, the same structure?
Not yet. We're looking at that. And that's a little bit of a struggle. Is from the real estate perspective, I own the real estate, own the building and stuff. We did transfer equipment into the operating company so that they would have some asset base. And then also it just works out better for them long term from a lease perspective and how that lease was structured and stuff. So when we're looking at the new shop, we still have some discussion around that of how we're going to do that percentages. And I don't necessarily think the first one I did was the right mix, maybe for that shop, but now it was because John had 20, David had 20, had 60. Really think that John should have a higher percentage just because of what he's doing and the responsibilities that he has on a daily basis.
So you're looking at any future almost in a different structure. Please don't commit to anything that's confidential right now. But why is that reason that you would be looking at a different percentage?
I think it comes back to, I don't want to say different levels of commitment, but I think it's just different levels of responsibility.
All right. Okay.
And so that's, and I have to have controlling interest. Part of that is because we're doing some SBA stuff and I'm holding that in a separate company. So there are some stipulations on that.
You got to have assets to leverage growth.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
For
yeah
sure.
Okay. Do you see, both of you together, and you know, Mark's not here, but do you see
David,
I'm sorry. Do you see a third and then a fourth in the same vein and same structure?
A third or fourth what?
Store?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, third and fourth. I mean, we've actually got plans to try and do 5 by the time Mark wants to retire. I think that's going to be close, so we may get to 4, okay. Fifth maybe a close one to do or not. But, yeah, third and fourth is definitely going to be a little bit different structure as well.
Fabulous. Let's take a change in our discussion. John, there are so many people listening to this show that are technicians. And there are technicians that are working, and there's young people. Hey, how you doing, man? You're in post-secondary school. Great. What do you want to grow up and be? Well, I'm going to school to be a technician, and I'm going to kind of push my way in. But in 5 years, I'm going to be a shop owner. My best advice is, great, befriend someone and help you so that you can be a successful shop owner, because it's not as easy as anyone thinks, and we all know that. But the current working technicians that are in service advisors that are in our shops today, give them some advice and say, you know, you looked at the opportunity that you got with Mark and you said just a little earlier, it's me. I just work hard. I have responsibilities. I'm committed. everybody's sitting on the sidelines waiting for owner to maybe come to me and say, would there be some possibility that a future heir apparent to a succession plan and a partnership opens their mouth and says, hey, boss, you know, when we sit down and we talk about stuff, think about me in a different light. Would that be some advice we would give people so that they put their hands up and say, hey, I may be in on this because you got no family?
Oh, most definitely. I think you definitely have to have that fierce conversation, you know, with your shop owner. Say, hey, look, I've been doing this for 5 years. I'm working hard. What's your succession plan? What's your exit strategy? I want to be part of that. How do I get to be part of that? You've got to have that fierce conversation, because if you wait for them to do something, they're not going to do anything, and they're just going to retire and close up shop.
Is the smartest thing to take a percentage of the business or to try to buy it all out?
I think taking a percentage of the business initially, and then maybe over a certain period of time, you grow that percentage to eventually where they're bought out when they want to exit. Like I said, you just have to have that fierce conversation with them.
There's risk involved, obviously, for me. I mean, I've had people tell me, you know, that's crazy. I would never do that. Because you can, you know, they can basically screw you. And I'm like, you know, you can get screwed all kinds of ways. I'm just looking at, you know, could I keep that business? Could I keep 100% of that business, just pay those guys a lot more money and still have 100%? Then when I go to sell, you know, would I get more money for it? Would I get less money for it? You know, maybe I could get more money, but why not just go ahead and start creating something, create those, your buyers, just work on your buyers and have your buyers that are, they're ready. And yeah, maybe you get a little bit less for your business.
Grooming, John and David.
Yeah, I think that's what it's all about, is grooming the next person. And then, you know, it's on David and I right now to groom our next people.
Yeah.
It's empowering the people around you, it, I think, is what helps makes us successful and grooms everybody upwards.
So when Mark walks in the door, you just say, hey, come on in.
Well, I actually, there's no
desk.
What are you doing here? Is using my first question.
Yeah, usually. It's not lunchtime.
Yeah. It's not Wednesday at lunch. So what are you doing here?
Don't get in my way.
Yeah. Well, that's the look I get. I'm busy. Leave me alone.
So you don't regret this in any way. And it, you recommend this to the rest of the industry.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's not for everybody.
Okay.
But you do have to start identifying those people, that those techs or whoever that might be able to do it. And it could be a great experience for a tech that says, hey, I've been here 5 years and I've worked hard and I want to be an owner. Okay, well, let's set out a plan that you're not seeing everything that the owner does, and it's just not as easy as you think. So let's set a plan. We, you know, here's some different education that we want you to start working on, you know, over the next 5 years, and really set out an educational plan for them to be able to go out and, hey, take these classes. Maybe you're going to take some management classes and stuff. That's one way to do it.
And along those lines, I would think as the owner, you need to be paying for that for your potential potential buyer. Yeah, if that person's, you know, working in your shop, pay for them to go to these classes. It doesn't have to be a sales training class or a technician training class. It could be about life. It could be about business.
Yeah.
Let them go take it and pay for it.
Yeah.
Grow them.
Is it because, Mark, you're a little younger that you looked at this? I mean, let's look at the 60 and 65 year old shop owners out there and says, I don't have time to develop a partnership and watch it succeed and sell 40 and, you know, work all this stuff. I just want to get out. I'm done. I'm burnt out. Is because you're a little younger. Was this a better option than just up and getting out and selling today?
I would love to tell you that I was just so smart and I had this all figured out, Carm, when I did it. But it happened somewhat by, I won't even say by accident. I mean, it was just, I had some kind of plan, but never really thought about just getting out. I think when I talk to other owners of other businesses and stuff, the one thing that I've heard back from them is that I shouldn't have sold my business. I should have kept my business. just paid somebody to run it. Yeah, they wouldn't run it like I would. At least I would have a place to go and get in people's way a couple of days a week, and because I'm bored.
You are right now?
No, I'm not bored. But the owners I've talked to that have sold, that sold their businesses at a younger age.
I see.
And so they're just bored. And
but there's so much to do. There really is so much to do in the industry. They shouldn't be bored.
Right.
You just please, if you're listening to me and you sold your business and you're bored, carm@remarkableresults.biz. There are so many struggling shop owners that need you as a father mentor figure to whisper in their ear and tell them how to run a better business and make money. I'm not going circumventing coaches, because ultimately someday you need to help convince these young people to find themselves a business coach. And my God, look at all the part-time business coaches that are in our industry. The fact of the matter is, we need help.
We do.
We do. We need help. So, John, happy you did this. And was the pain of going through all of this and learning all this is setting well with you and the family? And this was really an opportunity of a lifetime?
It definitely was an opportunity of a lifetime. It's still, you know, I struggle with it somewhat because, you know, the past several years I've kind of neglected my family, which I struggle with. And Mark's kind of always on me about, yeah, you need to go do this, you need to go do this. But, you know, just the, you know, my mentality is, I'm, like I said, I'm a hard worker. You know, I'm a robot, like Mark says. So I struggle with that. And that's one of the things that I'm constantly trying to work on, is spending more time with my family, because I have neglected them.
If there's anybody that I know, it can motivate you on a daily basis to do that. You know, that Wednesday call, Carm, have you been to the gym? Mark, have you spent, you know, John, have you spent any time with your family? And I know his rule is take the time off you need it. Go do travel hockey, right? And just go, because I love your expression, and I've repeated it in podcasts.
Yeah.
You know, Mark says, you know, if nobody dies, do it.
Yeah.
Right?
No, yeah. He has been very great on that, and it's kind of filtered down to me, and I tell all of our other team members the same exact thing right now, but I don't practice what I preach in that aspect. And that's something, like I said, I know it's something I have to work on. So at least I know that I've got that problem, and I, you know, and it's more so come up with since I've taken on an ownership role. I feel like I've got more responsibility to the other team members around to make sure everything else is going great for them.
A big sigh of relief and get on with your life and find some harmony at home, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's something that we talk about once a month at the beginning of the month when we have our, we meet on Tuesday mornings, and we'll, at the beginning of the month, we do a wheel of life that really looks at several areas of your life and how are you doing in that area. And that's the one area that it seems like, I don't want to say I'm constantly beating him up on. It's like, hey, what are you going to do about that? You know, but here's the thing that I can appreciate is just the honesty, is that, you know, because John could come into that meeting and just say, yeah, I'm ranking myself a 10 in that area or a 9 in the area. But, you know, John's totally honest about it. And I'm looking at that and I'm getting discouraged when I look at it, because I'm like, John, don't neglect your family. What are you going to do about it? And sometimes he has an answer. Sometimes he doesn't have an answer. But I think it's more about, it's more self-awareness when you have to do that and go around that. And I do an accountability chart too, and where I'm at in my life. And so it looks at, we look at about 10 different areas of our lives.
If Mark sold, you had the business, you and David had the business, and you never saw him again. It seems to me that the disciplines that he has, the wheel of life, the meetings, will make you one day, that 100% owner or whatever you and David will share, so much better on the trek through a deeper degree of ownership.
Oh, definitely. You know, I mean, Mark's instilled a lot of great things into David and myself. And one of those things is actually being a learner, being a lifelong learner. That's one of the things I struggled with early on in my relationship with Mark and working for Mark, is I wasn't the best lifelong learner. And I think the best thing that's almost come out of it is he's instilled that you've got to constantly read, you got to constantly learn. And I've done more so of that over the past 3 years than I think I have the previous 10 combined.
Good for you. Well, I'm happy you came on and shared. It's obviously a different perspective on how to grow a business. while you're still hanging around, and you could lead and guide the orchestra, Mark, really, and add additional places. Sure, there's a struggle, the legalese and the percentages and all. I get all that, but it's one heck of an option. And thank you for coming on and sharing. I really appreciate it. Mark Roberts from Schertz Automotive, and of course, John Long, his partner in the operation, and hopefully in the new store too, huh?
Oh, that's, yeah. No doubt about that.
Thanks for being
here. I wouldn't
guys.
Be doing it if yeah. it wasn't for him.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Thanks for being here, guys.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.